Our sermon today is based on a reading from Genesis chapter 27, verses 30 through 38. As soon as Isaac finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of his father Isaac, his brother Esau came in from his hunting. He also prepared savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father sit up and eat of his son's game so that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your firstborn son Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and blessed he shall be." When Esau heard his father's word, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightfully named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and look, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have already made him your lord, and I have given him all his brothers as servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, father? Bless me also, father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Thank you, God, for the blessings you pour so freely into our open hands. Friends, this month we're going to enter a season of blessing. We are going to look at people in the Bible who said yes to God's call and were subsequently blessed. We'll look at someone who actually ran from God and the promise of blessing. We'll look at someone who found out that a hard fate can be a blessing. And finally, we'll look at someone who said yes to God immediately and heartily, despite knowing yes could put their very life in danger. Today we're looking at a blessing of inheritance. God blessed Abraham in many wonderful ways, and after Abraham died, God blessed his son Isaac. Then it was Isaac's turn to carry on the family tradition and bless his own son. Isaac, of course, had two sons, Esau and Jacob. As the firstborn of the twins, it stood to reason that Esau would inherit the blessing. Or did it? Isaac told his son Esau, whom he preferred over Jacob, and you know right away that bodes no good. He told Esau to prepare his favorite wild game meal, and after he ate, Isaac would bless him. Isaac's wife and the boy's mother, Rebekah, overheard the plan and came up with a scheme of her own. I've always wondered if this was a typical ritual of the time, that when the oldest son reached a certain age, he would receive a blessing from his father. Or was this just Isaac's whim, seeing that he was growing old and nearing death, and he wanted to leave a legacy with Esau? That's all well and good and quite commendable, but perhaps Isaac didn't know something Rebekah knew. When she was pregnant with the boy, she had so much trouble, she prayed to the Lord asking, "What is going on here?" And the Lord told her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, the elder shall serve the younger." Did Rebekah ever share this prophecy with Isaac? Or did she, like Mother Mary, simply treasure these words in her heart? Perhaps she didn't tell Isaac about it because she was determined that the blessing would go to her favorite, Jacob. She knew he was destined to be the family leader, not Esau, and the blessing of Isaac had to go to him. That was God's will, after all, wasn't it? Would it be different if Isaac knew about the prophecy, if he knew and decided to give the blessing to Esau anyway? Then he would be deliberately defying God. Isaac was not just physically blind, he was blind to the purposes of God. Or maybe he still harbored some anxiety and resentment with the memory of how his father, Abraham, had been willing to sacrifice him, kill him, in accordance with God's purpose. At any rate, Rebekah knew what had to be done. So she came up with the plan for Jacob to take Esau's place and receive the blessing. She made him dress in his brother's clothes and wear goat skins to emulate Esau's hairiness. That way, they would trick Isaac into thinking Jacob was Esau. Despite Jacob's trepidation, he worried deceiving his father would turn the blessing into a curse. He did as his mother told him and secured the blessing from Isaac. What kind of blessing was it? Isaac intoned, "May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." Isaac prayed for Jacob to prosper in his life and receive blessings of good crops and rain at the right time and food and drink to sustain him and his family. He prayed for Jacob to be a leader and a lord, and he also prayed that the blessings that fell on Jacob would extend to others. It was an all-encompassing blessing. In essence, everyone in Jacob's orbit would enjoy the bountiful blessings bestowed on him by Isaac. Jacob wasn't quite resigned to grabbing the blessing by deception, but he still said yes, and he was still blessed. He left his father's tent under a mantle of prosperity and benefit, and right after he left, Esau came in. Esau. I bet you everyone in the family and in the village didn't just call him Esau. They called him Esau, bless his heart. There's one in every family. I guess it's a southern tradition or a southern thing, isn't it, to kind of make an excuse for someone's shortcomings by adding bless his heart when saying their name. Lord, honey, Esau just couldn't help being the way he was. Esau, bless his heart, had already shown that he didn't really care about family or rituals or traditions. One day he had come in from hunting and found Jacob making stew. He was famished, so he demanded some of the stew right away. Jacob, who never missed an opportunity to get what he wanted, demanded in turn that Esau give him his birthright. As the eldest son, Esau was entitled to most of their father's property upon his death. With the birthright, he would become the family's patriarch and be the spiritual leader of the tribe. But Esau was more concerned about filling his empty belly and having a good time than being the head of the household, so he blithely surrendered his birthright to his brother and went on his merry way without a second thought as to what he had really done. He had essentially already conceded the blessing to Jacob. Isaac just sealed the deal. It's hard not to feel sorry for Esau, bless his heart, when he learned his father had already blessed his brother. Imagine this grown man throwing himself on the ground, kicking his feet and pounding his fists like a two-year-old having a temper tantrum, weeping and wailing. Have you only one blessing, Father? Bless me, even me. Bless me too, Father. Make up something. Interspersed with his anger at Jacob was anger at himself as he realized what he had done, how cavalierly he had been about his position as the older son, how he had squandered his birthright and the blessing Isaac had wanted to bestow on him. His bitterness was for his own boneheadedness. Isaac felt sorry for him, but he couldn't take the blessing back. Once given, it was gone for good. The one who had blessed would stay blessed. The best Isaac could do was give Esau a secondary blessing, saying, "See, away from the fatness of the earth shall your home be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, but when you break loose, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Esau wouldn't have the blessed, easy life that Jacob would enjoy. He wouldn't have the abundant crops and provisions that Jacob would have. This sparked animosity and anger, and yes, even hatred and fear between the two brothers. Esau vowed to kill Jacob once their father died, several years later, not immediately, as Isaac seemed to believe would happen. Rebekah schemed once again. Soon after the incident of the supposedly stolen blessing, she arranged for Jacob to leave home and go to her family in Haran. Once again, she protected and preserved the son who was destined to be the patriarch and leader of their family. We can be a little miffed at her maneuvering, but she knew what God had planned for her twins, and she wanted to ensure God's will was done. So Jacob said yes not only to God, but also to his mother's scheming, and Jacob was blessed. Now, deceitfulness is not always blessed, but Rebekah knew who would be a better steward of the family blessing. Jacob wouldn't squander it or hoard it for himself. He would know how to spread the blessing around so everyone in the family would benefit. Later, when he and Esau met again, Jacob did just that. He made a present of the best of his flocks and herds to appease Esau's anger, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 220 rams, 30 milk camels and their coats, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. Jacob had been blessed during his years working for his uncle Laban, and he shared some of those blessings with Esau, as well he should have. It was another kind of blessing when the brothers reconciled. The years of anger and estrangement fell away, and for the most part, all was forgiven. The family was restored, and Jacob went on to prove himself worthy of the blessing his father had given him. When we think of God, our Father, when we come to him in search of blessing, aren't we already blessed to know that we don't have to behave like Esau, bless his heart, weeping and wailing and throwing ourselves on our faces before God, kicking and screaming, begging, do you only have one blessing, Father? Bless me too, Father, even me. No, indeed, our God and Father has blessings galore in store for all of us, not just one for one of us and none for the rest of us. God's blessings are even more magnificent than the ones Isaac bestowed on Jacob, because God has dominion and charge over all the goodness and beauty and bounty in the earth. It all belongs to God, and God gives it lovingly to us. God even pours blessings on people we don't expect or want to be blessed. Scripture says God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good alike and sends rain on both the evil and the righteous and the unrighteous. We should never begrudge the blessings God gives others, but we need to be good stewards of the blessing God gives us. They are not entrusted to us to hide and hoard. They are given to us to share. Especially, we must be sure to acknowledge that the blessings we receive of friends, family, health, home, things beyond material things, although we're glad to receive those too, all our blessings come to us directly from God, without begging, without weeping, without wailing, without worrying that someone else is going to get what we think we deserve, or someone else will get more than what we have received. In the end, Jacob and Esau, bless his heart, were both blessed with just what they needed. As we come into our Father's tent expecting blessings, we know we will never be disappointed or denied or sent away empty-handed and unblessed. God has already said yes to us, and yes, blessed we will be. Let us pray. God, for your blessings, so numerous and so spot on for each of us, we give you thanks. As we respond to your call, as we say yes to you, may we find ourselves blessed to be blessings for others. Thank you that we don't have to beg for blessings. You are already sending them to us, unasked and undeserved. We bless your holy name for all that you do for us. Amen.